You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. My name is Ben Newsome, and this week is a little different. Yeah, normally we have a lot of interviews to, you know, a whole bunch of different people doing education type things for people in classrooms and museums and things. However, this time, it's all about what happened at last weekend's Innovation Games. Now, the Innovation Games is a new thing. It was put on by Sydney Olympic Park, together with National Science Week and Inspiring Australia support, and a number of our partners like Samsung and NRMA and so forth, for a genuinely large public festival. We're talking about 4,000, maybe even 5,000 people attending a STEM festival on the last week of Science Week. And it certainly was very, very busy. We had drones, we had talks about zombies, we had talk about liquid nitrogen, all sorts of stuff. And so this means that the audio you're going to hear is going to be a little bit gritty. It's going to be live in the middle of a festival with all sorts of families doing all sorts of science stuff. But it's worth your time because it'll give you a bit of an idea about what different people have been doing. Now, I would have loved to have collected all the audio that we actually recorded, but the issue is, of course, in a live event like this, you've got people shouting over the microphone. We actually were, when you'll actually hear it, you'll hear me, I'm talking actually not just to yourself listening in the podcast, but I was actually projecting onto a large screen, the big screen in the middle of Sydney Olympic Park, which meant we had a bit of fun trying to make sure we could position the microphone in amongst the big TV camera as well. But it certainly was a lot of fun. Now, to give you a heads up, there were lots of people involved. We had Young Scientists of Australia, we had the Children's Discovery Museum, we had EcoHort, we had the Royal Botanic Garden Seed Bank, we had Clean Away, we had Rock and Crystals, we had this cool, totally autonomous car held by NRMA, and there was another car which is built, an electric car by Omboy. We had the owner of Sydney Olympic Park Authority's ecology and heritage teams there. We had physics education doing stuff, UTS Graduate School of Health. I mean, the list just keeps going on. There was augmented reality, thanks for Rob McTaggart. There was Marama Indigenous Youth. You get it. There was a whole bunch of things going on. Dr. Cameron Webb dropped by to talk about mozzies and, you know, public health. We had Kelly Simpson talking about zombies. Seriously, zombies and epidemiology and using the maths behind that. Dr. Carl popped in and talked about everything from astronomy through to belly button fluff. Seriously, he really did. You're talking heaps, Australian Museum, the whole lot. There was so much going on at this particular festival, it's really hard to cram it into one podcast episode. And even after that rather long list, I still need to give a shout out to even more people. We had the people from One Giant Leap. That is a foundation that's helping kids understand and use drones. Actually flying drones with help with CASA, which is wicked. They're these huge drones, not just the ones you see in retail stores. They had them down on the grounds. It was very cool to see them going. By the way, One Giant Leap also helps kids go to space camp in Alabama, in Huntsville, Alabama, which is just awesome for kids to find out because a lot of kids don't even realize it's even possible. So thanks very much, One Giant Leap, for getting involved. We had the NRL game development crew down and they were there to see who was the fastest in the festival. And what we mean by that is they genuinely had, like, you know, those police radar guns. They were using that to work out who is the fastest across the field. And there were some generally really quick kids, which is really cool to check out. We had some short films going through on Cinema, which is, if you've not ever heard of Cinema, it's a series of short films, you know, involving science, which is, you know, quite cool to get involved with as well. We really did. We had so many things involved and so many different people helping out. We even had the crew from Beards On, which is an interesting group that promotes conservation awareness through taking people's beards off, literally, either full beard or the half beard. And the reason why is that not only is it visible, it helps raise money to look after the environment. So the Beards On crew were there and we certainly enjoyed having them along. So you can hear there was a lot happening at such a large festival such as the Innovation Games. So because of this, make sure you just jump on our blog for this particular episode and we'll have a full list of all the links to the people who are involved. And I know that it's certainly worth your time. Just again, as I mentioned before, just listen through the grit, listen through the little bit of the audio back, you know, back chatter and all the bit of noise going on. That's what's going to happen in the major festival. But certainly we had some interesting people to talk to.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Dr. Cameron Webb, welcome to the Innovation Games.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
Mate, I am so stoked to have you along. What are you going to tell the public?
We're going to explain a little bit about the science behind mosquito bites. And so even though it's in the middle of winter, it'll be great to sort of share why mosquitoes bite and how they find people to bite and how people react to mosquito bites.
I was actually having a chat with some people just around the corner. They were talking about, oh my gosh, one of my friends has dengue fever and we're going to Africa soon. What should we do? Like, I mean, you must get questions like this all the time.
Yeah, and that's okay because I don't mind sharing tips and tricks on avoiding mosquito bites for people. Doesn't matter whether they're having a holiday up and down the coast in Australia every summer or they're travelling overseas to Bali or other exotic destinations. Protecting yourself from mosquito bites is the best way to prevent mosquito-borne disease.
Fantastic. Now, this is the Innovation Gains. I mean, that means it's all about innovation and what's coming up in the future. So I just have to ask, in your world, what is coming up? What do you know is down the pipeline?
Yeah, there's some fantastic innovations when it comes to mosquito control. So hundreds of years ago, we used to drain swamps and pour our chemicals onto our wetlands to kill mosquitoes. But now we're much more mindful of the environment and we're looking at ways that we can control mosquitoes or maybe even stop them from spreading the pathogens that cause disease without relying on insecticides. And so things like genetic modification or the introduction of pathogens or parasites into the mosquitoes is a really clever way to do it. And so we're going to see more and more of that in the years ahead.
Look, they're so excited. Now, you're due on stage in 3 minutes' time, so I can't hold you up. Look, much appreciated and enjoy the afternoon.
Thanks very much for having me. See ya.
Yeah, good day everyone, it's Ben again here at the Innovation Games, Sydney Olympic Park. I hope you're having an awesome day. And speaking of having an awesome day, I know Karen at the Australian Museum certainly has been.
It's been a fabulous morning. It's been really busy down here at the Frog ID tent here for the Australian Museum, and it's always wonderful to be at Sydney Olympic Park.
Oh, absolutely, and it's a gorgeous day. Hey, what sort of things can they come do at the Australian Museum's marquee here?
Well, we've got a new program called Frog ID. It's all about identifying frogs by their calls. So we've got some push buttons the kids can hear some frog calls.
Yep.
And lots of different interactives on frogs and life cycles. And they can either create their own frog species and give it their own call that we're putting up on Twitter at the hashtag Frog ID.
Oh, gosh, what call could you make that be?
Hey, we have had some amazing choices. I think we've had high-pitched squeals, even some roars. So, yeah, pretty much anything the kids can imagine, they can create for us today.
So there you go. So we've got Dr. Cameron Webb talking about mozzies down on stage, and we've got people like Karen Player talking about frogs up here. It's a great day here at Innovation Games. So, Kelly Simpson, welcome to the Innovation Games.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're about to talk on stage about zombies. Now, that grabbed my attention straight away. Why are you talking about zombies?
Well, I personally think zombies are really fascinating, but I think they're a great way to explain disease and disease transmission.
Yep.
With a really fun way. So I'm an epidemiologist, yep. So I look at disease in the population, and I think zombie virus is much more exciting than the diseases I work on.
It'll certainly grab people's attention without a doubt.
Yep.
No worries. So what are you going to be talking about when it comes to epidemiology with the public?
So I'm going to be talking about why maps is probably a better way to solve a zombie outbreak than guns and violence. So if we can put the clues together, if we can work out where the zombies are coming from, when the zombie virus started, that's a better way to stop a zombie outbreak than just shooting a whole bunch of zombies.
So your job is to stop World War Z?
Pretty much, yeah.
Got it, fantastic. Look, Dr. Cameron Webb was only up here recently talking about mosquitoes and, you know, stopping dengue fever, malaria and everything else like that. Imagine you run into a number of people who work in epidemiology and entomology and everywhere else. You're in the University of Sydney.
Yeah.
What do you do there exactly?
I'm doing a PhD looking at salmonella in humans and animals. So it's transmitted from wildlife, but also from food. And there's a whole lot of ways we can catch it. So I'm looking at one particular type. And we think it's in the environment somewhere, so trying to hunt down where it's coming from,
right,
and stopping the cases.
So it's not just from soft cheeses, it's all over the place.
No, it's all over the place, yeah. So pretty much everywhere and anywhere is salmonella, and any sort of type of animal, if it's got a gut, it's probably got salmonella.
And this is fantastic to know, because I'm about to have lunch here at the Innovation Games,
yep.
And hopefully it's been cooked at a pretty high temperature, and look, much appreciated for coming along. I know you're about to be up on stage. Enjoy your afternoon.
Great, thanks very much.
Cheers. Yes, welcome again to the Innovation Games. I hope you've been having an awesome National Science Week. That's a big one for National Science Week. I know you have.
I sure have.
Totally have. Look, we're down here with Owen Boy. Tell me, Owen Boy, now I'm a science teacher. I know what Owen Boy is about. But I'm going to think about what is OHM all about when it comes to
Well, ohms is sort of a measure of electrical resistance, so it's a restriction of current, electric circuit. So, I like ohmoid because it sort of follows like homeboys.
That certainly works for me. If you had gone all out, I mean, check out this vehicle. I mean, not only is it a number plate, there's certainly some stuff behind the base. Tell us more about what's going on.
I'm part of an association that we made since 1973. We convert cars to electric. So this car's been fully made electric. With all the petrol gear out, the batteries in there, a big electric motor. It's really good to drive. It's really good fun. I like to get involved with electric cars. You can't have petrol cars the same anymore.
How much has it taken a lot of effort to put together? How long did that take?
About a year, on and off. I do it on weekends and stuff like that. But guys about Clark can do it really fast, depending on what sort of car you want to do. And it gets about 150k range. I plug it in at night at the power point, and away I go. Don't have to buy petrol. Good for the environment.
It's awesome. What's the most unusual car you've ever
driven? I've got Mustangs and all sorts of stuff, but this little smart car, we did was really hard because of the electronics and stuff like that. We had to trick it into thinking it still had a petrol motor, and once we got around all that, it was a real challenge, but a lot of very rewarding when it was done in the end.
Awesome. Now, people have got this new year as well. What are they
in that? All the components from electric motors, all the stuff for the cars, the different battery technology, things are changing really fast.
What are we looking at on the screen right now?
So the controllers, the motors, the different buttons seem to get a lot of interest. People are pushing that. All the different battery technologies, the big DC motor up the end there. So I'm showing you how you can make power by turning the motor. And more about the car, but I think it's now what we're going for.
That's fantastic. And so if people are involved in your club, what are they doing?
Just Google Australian Vehicle Association. We're a national car. We've got branches in every state. There's lots of stuff on
the internet. Innovation
doesn't have to be now. That's right.
Yeah. Well, so you jump out, you can't miss it. It's a wide band filled with a whole bunch of interesting stuff. Look, I hope you're having a top time at the Innovation Games. We'll catch you soon.
I love this. Climbing on people, having your assistance as well, which is good.
How large do monkeys get?
They get 3.5 meters, something taller. They get very, very big. And lots of them like to live inside roofs because they're warm, and there's usually rats living in there. So they're quite a fan of that. I bet. So it's any rat night when you talk to any snake? Yeah, that's it, exactly right.
I just think I just saw this morning. Being protected and how people can take care of the environment at the same time.
And National Science Week makes you guys incredibly busy.
Yeah, it really does. It's a big week. Lots of people usually ignore science quite a bit, so it's good to teach them a little bit about how these animals work, especially there's lots of these animals that just live wildly around these parts. So it's the first time somebody has seen them.
I've got a
crocodile, which is quite good. Quite a few lizards and a turtle. I've got a possum, a frog, and my favourite, I've got Sydney the goanna.
Fantastic. Speaking of naming animals, the last top one Floppy was called Floppy.
Floppy, I don't know, Floppy, I don't have Chomper. Yeah, so different one, not as a good name, but definitely in this area. Oh, there we go. Say hello.
Look, obviously, you can see the kids are loving it here.
Right, to get me ready, I think I'm going to do countdown and maybe someone with an ambulance just like ready to go in case we need to call it. Is that okay? Someone's got that covered? All right, everyone, let's get a countdown from 3, 2, 1. Ta-da! I'm okay. I'm sitting on the world's most dangerous chair made of 194 nails. And I'm okay. What do you think's going on? Yes. Oh. Well, a bit of smoke for effect there. You're exactly right. It's all about how many nails I'm sitting on. Now, I think a few of you might be thinking, maybe Erin James got some fake nails there. But these aren't fake nails. They're definitely real nails. I know that because I handled them all through the piece of wood myself. So they're definitely real nails, but I don't have special pants on. It's all because I've got 194 of them. And we can do an experiment to help us understand this. If you take one finger like this and you push it really hard into the side of your head, ouch, that hurts. But if it's not hurting, you're not pushing hard enough. But if you try with your whole hand and you push that into the side of your head, that doesn't really hurt. When you've got just one finger, all of your pushing force is concentrated in a really small area. So that makes it hurt. But when you've got your whole hand, that pushing force is spread out. And it's the same thing that's happening on with all of my nails. Because I've got 194 of them, my weight is being spread out over all of them evenly. Each nail's only holding up one 194th of my weight. But what would happen if I sat on just one nail? I heard someone say my bottom would go pop. You are exactly right. That would really hurt because all of my pushing force would be concentrated on just one place. So the world's most dangerous chair ends up not being that dangerous at all, did it?
We even had the crew from Beards On, which is an interesting group that promotes conservation awareness through taking people's beards off, literally, either full beard or the half beard. And the reason why is that not only is it visible, it helps raise money to look after the environment. So the Beards On crew were there, and we certainly enjoyed having them along. So you can hear there is a lot happening at such a large festival such as the Innovation Games. So because of this, make sure you just jump on our blog for this particular episode and we'll have a full list of all the links to the people who are involved. And I know that it's certainly worth your time. Just again, as I mentioned before, just listen through the grit, listen through the little bit of the audio back, back chatter and all the bit of noise going on. That's what's going to happen in the major festival. But certainly we had some interesting people to talk to.
We're doing here in the Chilton Discovery Festival. We've got the Little Bang Discovery Festival Edition happening, where the children will be cited that they can make a collection, they can do some measuring, and they can do some experimenting.
And I love what Little Bang Discovery Club does. It is aimed at 3 to 5 year olds, right?
It is, but we also find it's very popular with primary school children as well.
I mean, who doesn't love a tornado on a bottle? And I can see
there's pin art, there's magnet wires, there's x-rays. Hey, you know, you do a lot of stuff now, but you mainly work with
we do a lot of work in community libraries. So we're bringing science to the community in their local library.
And it doesn't help with the Innovation Games. What made you go, you know what, we've just got to be here and get
what? Well, we just
Back here at the Innovation Games, my name's Ben, and in this case we're in the Eco Ward tent, and look, it's all going on, we've got lots of stuff going on, and in this case we're talking with the science of sound when it comes to the bush. Hey, what's going on here?
We are trying to figure out which animal matches the sound. Do you want to just do this again? Press this one, number 6, which do you reckon? Can you hear it? Let's listen. Okay, which animal do you think it belongs to?
We can play back at home here.
That's right. That's the sound of a sugar glider. And that's one of the things that we're doing today. We're learning about science and how we can find animals in the bush. Because what about little microbats? Do they make a sound we can hear, the little bats? They're really tricky. We can't actually hear them, but we can make a picture of their sound and their call when the frequency is so high. So we're learning about the science of sound here in the tent and figuring out the difficulty of trying to find little animals in the bush. Can you imagine trying to find a little black bat that's endangered in the night in the bushland? It's really, really tricky. So using a bat detector and using sound, we can find them and we can help to manage the bushland and look after the bushland. So it's really, really good.
Oh, look, we've got snakes coming out as well. Yeah, check that out. Also, bubble wrap like. Now, are we looking at python skin or are we looking at something that is, a little bit more venomous? What are we looking at?
That's a trick there. You actually have to have a look at the belly. So on the back, that's the back of the snake. And on the belly, can you see what shape is the belly pattern? It's got round circles. Round circles means it's from a python. If it was stripy, it'd be from a venomous snake. So we're pretty happy this is a friendly snake. In fact, this is from a children's python. Would you like it? What do you think it feels like? Soft. You think it's quite soft? It's the same as our hair and our nails. It's keratin. So it's they shed their skin, and then we can at least know which snakes are around our houses and in the bushland.
Yes, welcome to the Innovation Games here. We're in the heart of Sydney, as far as I'm concerned, the Sydney Olympic Park. And someone who really loves this place, who works this place all the time, is Mike Bartlett. I do love this place. Yeah, you've got me there. It's great to see everyone out here today. Crowds behind me. Crowds lining up for some science action. So wonderful to see you all. Thank you, Weather, for staying. I got next to me.
Robert Tagley, looking at Mike, and we created a little app journey for the day, an augmented reality experience. It's called the Metaverse, and as well as people walking around and having a great time in the real world, as well as people who are in augmented or virtual world.
Tell them the prizes, Mike. So if you play this game with us, so you've got to download Metaverse on your device. You can win grand final tickets. You can win a signed Bulldog jersey. You can win a stay at the Novotel. So I can see up in the sky there. You can win
Adam Spencer's
machine. So plenty of prizes to win, golden ticket kind of stuff. But you need a play to win essentially. So if you need to know any more info, you see us walking around the place. We can put you onto it.
Absolutely. When you're looking at the people who are using it, you can walk around with their phones trying to find catering players all over the place. It's really cool. I love augmented reality. And it's brilliant. No, well done, Robert, for this. Yeah, that's lovely. And look, I hope you're having a top time at the Sydney Olympic Park Innovation Games.
First event.
It's rocking from all these drones. We just had a zombie talk about the miscommunications and some stuff on liquid nitrogen. Literally, it's the speed down on the stage. There's a lot going on. And I hope you're having a great afternoon.
Yes, I hope you're having a fantastic time at the Innovation Games. How good was Dr. Carl with his chats?
Gotta love them. Every time we do National Science Week, checking out Dr. Carl's tracks is just wicked. And speaking of checking things out, I really want to go to GOC, One Giant Leap. They're down in the back, down near the drones. And someone who certainly knows a lot about One Giant Leap is Emily here.
Hello, I'm Emily, and I'm the student ambassador for the One Giant Leap Foundation. You should come down and have a look at what we have to offer. We have drone simulators, and we have anything and everything about information about space.
Now, you said student ambassador, and you said space camp, which kind of made me think, I've got to know more about this. How did you land that gig?
Well, about a couple months ago, I wrote an email to One Giant Leap, and a month later, I received news from Greg Shaltoff, an astronaut, and I found out that I won the scholarship, so I'm going to
America's
space camp this whole
weekend. Yeah, seriously, we're talking like right in the heart. Whereabouts, Alabama, yeah?
Huntsville, Alabama, yeah.
Fantastic. What are you expecting to see at space camp?
So there we're going to be doing lots of simulations, and we also get put into a team where we're going to be doing multiple missions.
Oh gosh, I know there'll be some kids who want to get involved in space camp, and I'm sure they can speak with Emily, definitely down at One Giant Leap. Hey, apart from speaking with you, which by the way is always interesting to find out what's going on, what can they do down at One Giant Leap stand?
So they can check out the drone simulators, and they can also talk to Rob and Jackie and the team down there, and also CASA as well, to learn all about drones, drone regulations, things like that. There's a full table set up with lots of
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS, and click 100 free experiments.
Well, there you go. That's just a small excerpt of the very large festival that the Innovation Games was on August 20th of this year. And look, if you want to find out more about how to set up your own festival, I really recommend you jumping back all the way to episode 4, I believe, with Vanessa Barrett, who has set up a number of large festivals like this for Science in the Swamp and Science in the Wild through Australian Botanic Garden and Centennial Parklands. And I really recommend you check out that episode.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS.
With the Innovation Games, we're really looking for people who could really show science in such a way that will grab people's attention in an innovative way. We were seeing virtual reality, we had augmented reality, we had electric cars and self-driving cars, we had drones and all sorts of stuff. And it comes down to it that thinking creatively and putting together weird ideas in a new way is what innovation's all often about. And by the way, innovation doesn't have to be groundbreaking. It doesn't have to be about creating a brand new industry that someone makes $1 billion from. It can simply be about simply just changing a little idea, pivoting a little bit, and your classroom can benefit from that result. And speaking of innovative places, I think you should probably check out last week's episode with the Museum of Human Disease. I was speaking with my good friend Derek Williamson, and he had a lot to talk about when it came to telling people how they're teaching biology, in particular human biology and anatomy and physiology, in an innovative way.
So we've just started a student project here, 3D imaging specimens. It's a small project at the moment, but the idea will be that we will 3D image a bundle of our specimens, and then we're putting in a virtual reality studio in the back of the museum where we will then look at how we interpret these sorts of things and how we can bring other virtual reality in from across the university and kind of add to it with augmented reality within the museum space.
Yeah, it's really worth checking out last week's episode. Derek had a lot to say when it came to teaching biology, but I must say it's one of the coolest museums that people haven't actually often heard about. The Museum of Human Disease is wicked. It's well worth your time if you're ever in Eastern Sydney. It's well worth checking out.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Love your science? We do too. Here's this episode's education tip of the week. Grab your pencil and get ready to make some notes.
Yes, this tip of the week is really for anyone who's been looking for ways of teaching science using kids' toys. Now, that should be fairly obvious for a lot of you, but I know that it's kind of still not always done. People don't often realize that you can find a lot of great apparatus, so to speak, in your local toy store. The only thing is what is good and what's not so good. So you got to sort of, you know, ask yourself a few questions when you're browsing around for your own classroom or for your own home. So here are the sort of questions I ask myself when it comes to stocking, well, what stuff we use for our own physics education program. Seriously, that's what we do. Or when I advise others, say, hey, this particular toy is of value for people to consider for their own teaching. So straight up, first up, is it safe? Now, that should be straightforward, but unfortunately, you often find in those, you know, those cheaper stores, the $2 stores, not all those toys, even if it's being sold in under your area, is, you know, somehow safe for import, doesn't mean it's appropriate for your classroom. So think very carefully. Can it get heated easily, like heat too much? Is it likely to break in such a way that it'll produce shards that are going to be a real problem for people's skin? Yeah, you obviously, yeah. So is it safe from a heating point of view, from an electrical point of view? Is it easily broken? All that sort of thing is important before you even worry about the science. Next, is it going to cost you a fortune? I mean, it's so simple to go, you know, flick out, you know, $50, $100, $200, $500, and all of a sudden you're out of money. You don't want to do that. So can you get a toy that's, you know, under $20 or even better, under $10 that you can replicate a few times so kids all get a genuine go at it in your classroom? And at least in your family, you know, you don't want to be buying stuff that only lasts a week or two. So is it cost effective? Now, importantly, does it demonstrate an area of science that you're actually trying to teach? Now, that should be fairly obvious, but don't let it hold you back if you're not teaching something right now. I know I've been accused of being a bit of a bowerbird, a bit of someone who just stores stuff away in case of a rainy day. But the number of times I've gone, you know what, I've got this thing that I found 3 years ago and I pull it out and it's just great to have. You know, it's useful to store stuff away. Seriously, it's totally worth it. So does it demonstrate an area of science you're going to teach now or potentially in the future? And finally, can students see and describe how the toy actually works from a scientific point of view? You know, how can they apply Newton's laws? Can they see the conservation of energy being applied? Can they see how the circuits works and how energy is flowing around? Can they test that? It really comes down to, rather than just looking for toys that might sell a particular character of the month that everyone wants to have on their toy, what does it show the kids? And so that's my tips. That's certainly, I'd love to hear what your tips are when it comes to getting educational toys working in your classroom. So yeah, drop us a line, throw some information onto iTunes or whatever you're using to catch your podcast. I do certainly read them, or throw it down on our blog on our website. I'd love to know what you think.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
And that brings us to the end of yet another Physics Ed podcast. Hey, thank you for hanging around, especially when it's a little bit loud, a little bit quiet at times, a little bit gritty, a little bit noisy, and everything in between at such a vibrant festival as the Invention Games generally are. I know it was a little bit hard to hear through on some of those interviews, but it's worth listening to some of these people, especially when their heart is in the right place when it comes to STEM education. Hey, next week, we're speaking with Jackie Slaviero and Emily Rosank from One Giant Leap. That's the crew that are bringing kids from Australia into Huntsville, Alabama for Space Camp, and I know you'll enjoy that episode. And hey, until next time, as always, may your science lessons be fun. Please make them as informative as possible and grab your students' imagination. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and of course, you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Bye for now.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.